Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Dutch.
Hey, how's it going? It's Duchess. How has everyone been? A little laid back, trying to get through the process. There's a lot going on. Oh, there's so much going on. And this weekend alone have we got a bunch of stuff happening out there, around here, everywhere. What can I say? So, why don't we start with today is 11-1. That gives us three ones. Three ones numerologically means manifesting thoughts. And then we have the year 2020, which gives us two deuces or two twos or 22. And numerologically, that's how I have to say that word, or it doesn't come out of my mouth right. Numerologically, 2020 means turning all dreams and desires into reality. Now, how's that for a 111 and a 22? Okay, but that's the upside of this weekend. We have been going through a couple of weeks of Mercury retrograde. I was talking to my sister yesterday, saying so many things going on with her phone, but she was dropping calls. She must have dropped about 10 calls while we were trying to have a 30-minute conversation, calling each other backwards and forwards. I didn't think to tell her that Mercury has been retrograde, and that only means that Mercury is giving the illusion of going backwards, because it's really not going backwards, but there's an illusion going on up in the sky. And so as it passes between the Earth and the Sun on its rounds, it messes with our electronics. Let's see. Mercury retrograde happens about four times a year for a period of maybe 2 to 3.5 weeks. And it can cause a lot of havoc because Mercury is the planet of communication. And the planet of communication rules communication. So when Mercury is rolling forward as it normally does across the sky, it can help communication go smoothly, particularly as it enters your own personal astrological house. However, when the planet seemingly reverses direction, it has the opposite effect, muddying the waters as you try to communicate with people. I mean, for some people who are sensitive to this type of energy, we tend to find ourselves mired in misunderstanding. People just don't understand what we're saying, or we feel we have to say something over and over again that we've already said, or we have no tolerance for people we are trying to communicate with, and it can be really rough, you know? So there are people who you have been friends with for years, family members, you know, they usually laugh at something you say, but now they get really, really upset when you say something during Mercury retrograde. So Mercury retrograde can have an influence on how we choose our words carefully, listen thoughtfully, and consider how others feel when we speak. Okay? So miscommunication in Mercury retrograde can also act as a catalyst to help us clear of any tensions, because now it's the time when we're just going to let you know what we've really been feeling all the while that stuff's been happening. So Mercury retrograde can be an upper or downer depending upon which end of the spectrum you're looking at. And like I said, it can make our technology get real glitchy, like my sister's telephone cutting off and cutting on, and she's thinking she needs a new telephone. Well, maybe by the third, after this election, I think Mercury retrograde completes itself at the end of tomorrow. Okay, so we're looking also at what else is going on this weekend. Oh, we had a blue moon yesterday. Now, what the heck is a blue moon? Well, we all know how people used to say that folks got real weird doing a full moon. Excuse me. But to have a full moon on Halloween, you know, that's a trip. And that is a rare occurrence, to have a full moon on the 31st. That happens like every 2.5 years that you have and it's called the blue moon, or it's called a Halloween hunter's blue moon, all right? Because it fell on Halloween, this blue moon, it basically means that we had a full moon twice in 1 month. That's why they say it's kind of like a weird occurrence. And as far as that happening, I believe on a Halloween night, it won't happen again until 2039. You know, God bless us all if we're still alive during that time. What else is going on? Oh, today is Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead. Now, that sounds real freaky and onerous, but Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead, is a day that Mexicans celebrate for honoring the ancestors. So this is a day for honoring our deceased relatives, and you're honoring the dead. Once again, that's Dia de los Muertos. Okie dokie. Oh, I think something else is happening. What else? What else besides Dia de los Muertos? Well, you know it's time for me to do my countdown, especially since we had a time change. You know I don't like, well, I can't appreciate this time of the year. I learned a long time ago that the Creator has made seasons for a purpose, and it's not up to me to say what I like or dislike what the Creator has put forth for us to happen to go through. But winter is not something that I can appreciate. Some people appreciate winter, but soon as fall comes, I start doing a countdown looking for 139 days until spring, which will be March 20th, and that's what I'll be doing every show hereafter. I'll be doing my famous countdown I got 50 days to go before winter sets in, which will be December 21st, but that's okay. I'll be counting down for when spring returns. Oh, I think that's basically what I needed to reveal to everyone about what's happening here, there, and some of everywhere. I hope I have my notes. I hope they're here. Yeah, I do. I have them. I promised last show we were talking about masters in the new energy, and that's what we've been talking about for the last past couple of shows. Masters in the new energy, keep on breathing no matter what. Masters in the new energy, what that means to you as a master in the new energy. And all of us are masters in this new energy, whether we know it or not. We're all awakening in our own time frame as our own minds desire to help us grow as masters, okay? So I promised that I would go through and chat with you about what it means to be a new master in this new energy. And this is a book I've taken excerpts out of. It's entitled Masters in the New Energy, and it's channeled by Jeffrey Hoppe, and the energy or entity or divine spiritual being that he channels is Adamus Saint-Germain. So Adamus had this wonderful pathway to allow those of us who are struggling with our own light energy, with our own vibration, for us to understand that we are masters in a new energy, and unlike the old masters like Jesus, Muhammad, masters like, what's his name, Adamus Saint-Germain, their masters, unlike them, and even Moses, Noah, they're considered masters in their own energy, right? We are new masters. And the new masters and what we go through, what you go through, and what they went through is totally different. Totally different, because we all used to think that there was a process to becoming a master, and that we were not high enough in our spiritual development to fit that definition. But talking, you know, while we're talking about this, the term master is usually thrown around and used openly and freely, and there have been many, many masters in the past, but the masters of the past are different than the masters of the new energy. So often the masters of the past had to go through extreme suffering to become a master, you know. They had to deny their bodies, their physical bodies. They had to literally deny their human existence in order to look deeper into their spirit, in order to separate what was human from what was spirit, what was real from what was illusion, what was the battle of the ego from what was the blessing of being human. So many of the masters that you and I have heard and read about endured this grand suffering, becoming martyrs as well as masters. There is no need for that in the new energy. Okay? The new energy master understands that mastery is about being human. They understand that it is about integrating all of our energies, or all of the energies of vibration that swirls around us. All of these energies, light energies, the energy from Mother Earth, the energy from the sun, the energy from all that there is, these energies, we must integrate all of these energies into ourselves. That's why we feel a little strange sometimes. The new energy master understands the principle of joy and releases the old concept of suffering. So the old masters went off, and it was felt that they needed to suffer. New energy masters understand the principle of joy, and we release the old concept of suffering. Now, many of the masters in the past, they had to isolate, you know, like when you look at the Ten Commandments, and Moses went up the mountain and, you know, sat with the burning bush for what, how many days, maybe years. He was up there. I mean, the television doesn't depict how long he sat up there waiting for his revelation. Some of these masters lived as hermits in the woods on a desolate island. or in a, how do you say, forsaken part of some country where no other humans lived, and perhaps justifying it by saying that they were getting back in touch with nature. You know, you have shamans in Native American terms, who go off, you know, and they go into sweat lodges, or they have to go into the woods, and they have to be there. You saw, in order for, even in the movie, it was fictional, but even in Black Panther, the movie, for him to become a full master, he had to go, and he had to go meet with the ancestors. He had to be almost buried alive so that he could, in essence, die as his old self, so that he could rise to be the Black Panther that he was meant to be, to lead the tribe. The masses of old had to leave the presence of other humans in order to truly discover themselves. So, however, the new energy master understands that it is an essential part of humanity. And because they are an essential part of humanity, it is within them to be a part of the community. The new energy master understands that isolation and separation do not, I repeat, isolation and separation do not serve the needs of the others, the ones who are ready for teachers. So those new energy masters learn to be the master while existing in this human reality surrounded by other humans, while working on everyday jobs, while traveling to and fro, while going to the same stores, or perhaps even the same churches as other humans. There may be times that you and I need to be alone. Many of us need to be alone as masters, okay? There will be those times when we need to recharge our energy. But the new energy master understands it is important to live among other humans. It is important to participate in human existence. For how can we teach if we are on some remote island? How can we teach if we are isolating ourselves in some distant place? How can we be available to humanity if we are sitting on some mountaintop, secluded and difficult to get to? Think about it, you know? I've worked at Job Corps, and I've been a teacher of young, incorrigible females, and that's where I had to be. It was amazing because my Job Corps students, because I knew so much about them and I had learned so much about what I needed to know spiritually, they thought I was a witch, and I found that fascinating. Good for me. My students think I am a witch. You know what I'm saying? But that's how masters appear, to tell you the truth. As a matter of fact, you have your own family members that think you're weird because you know stuff or you do things or you practice things other than what they're used to or think that you should be doing. But they thought the old masters were weird also. Some of those old masters, they were killed because of how they practice and what they believe and what they tried to teach the people. Okay, so, once again, many of the masters in the past, they really studied hard. They read the ancient texts, they read the philosophies, they studied the religions. They spent most of their years in school, and even as they became older, They studied and studied and studied, still trying to find their way to enlightenment. They felt that the more they absorbed, the more they studied, the more they knew, this would put them closer to becoming a master. There are very, very few masters who truly made it this way, though many, many have tried. Adamus Saint Germain says they all found one thing in common. It brought them so much into the mind that they ignored their true feelings. Sooner or later, the masters of the past who partook in this rigorous study found that they had to let it go. I remember listening to this channeling, excuse me, this channeling by a master. His name was Kathumi Lao Singh. He studied and he studied in the universities, trying to study his way to enlightenment until it literally just about drove him crazy. He had to release it. He had to understand that all of the book knowledge, all that book knowledge in the world, would never give him the true enlightenment that comes through the feelings and through the, what they call, that word, nast, the divine intelligence. Well, I'm going to tell you, I have bookshelves out there in my dining room area with books and books and books and books and books and books that I've read. And just like most of us, we can read all the books in the world. But we eventually have to sit down in our own right, in our own space, do our own meditation, tap into our own higher self for us to realize that we have words of wisdom already clocked into us that we aren't even able to tap into because we're so full of putting things in our brains. You know, the brain can hold but so much. But I'm going to tell you, your higher self holds forever, holds everything that you can possibly know. It has wisdom from what they call the Akashic Libraries. It knows things that your brain can't even begin to fathom or remember that the soul that's housed knows. So masters of new energy have already studied, okay? You've read the books. You've gone to the courses. You've read all the old wisdom teachers. Has it solved the issue? Perhaps. It has been pleasurable. Perhaps you have enjoyed it now and then, but sometimes you get so absorbed in the study that you forget that you already are the master. You get so complex, trying so hard to find intellectual answers, that you forget the answers are already within. You get so engrossed in the search, so focused on the path, that you forget all of the answers are already within you. That's why a lot of times people who have all of this book knowledge, they are floored when someone who they feel is less than them intellectually comes out of their mouth with wisdom from the divine source. That's where it is. They didn't get it from a book. They got it from divine wisdom. And we all have that. So it's not about studying everything that you can find, looking for the answers. By all means, study if you enjoy that, if it's pleasurable to you. But as you have already discovered, you're not going to find the answers that way. Some people think they will, but not necessarily so. Okay. Many of the masters of the past practice extreme discipline, disciplining their mind, disciplining their body. They felt that if they focused their energy in a very extreme way through severe discipline, they could become clear and focused like a laser beam, and somehow that would give them enlightenment. But in truth, many of them were just torturing themselves and denying their full existence. It did work to some extent for masters of the past because that was the energy they were in. The energy hundreds of thousands of years ago was much thicker than it is now. It was much more dense, much more difficult to work, very hard moving through that density. And there was a need by aspiring masters to have this density. Okay? And this density is what pulled on their need for discipline. Otherwise, they would be caught up in the density of consciousness. Now, we're walking in this third dimension, and we're walking through all of this consciousness. And it may feel heavy to you. It may feel heavy to some, because it is. It's a lot. It's a lot of chaos and pandemonium going on, and you just feel so heavy. But this is a much lighter density in consciousness. So back to the old folks, the old masters, you know, in the era that that they existed. How can I say? I'm trying to think how dense it could have been back then, and would any of us survived back then? Think about it. We look at back then. Could we have survived back then? We weren't meant to survive back then. We are meant to be here, to be now, and to be masters in this energy. In the era that we exist in right now, we don't need this extreme discipline. We don't need to deny ourselves things that are part of that thing, deny us of things that are part of our life. We don't need to be afraid of any of these things around us. There are many who fear that if they partake in certain joys and pleasures of life, that it will distract them, that they will get caught up in these things, become addicted to them, and forget about their true spiritual paths. Perhaps you have blocked yourselves from true joy in life, trying to be spiritual. I have friends that do that. They go to church, and they go to their spiritual, religious beliefs, you know, and some of them don't dance, and they don't watch television, and they don't do things, you know, that are of joys of this world, you know, and albeit to them, but this was denser energy back then. And I can't tell people how to believe or how not to believe. And, you know, more blessings to them. But there are some of us that feel that, you know, we can try other ways. I remember the first time I changed my religious belief from Christianity to being a Muslim, okay? The hardest thing in the world for me to do when I made that conversion was to get on my knees and put my head to the ground in full prostration in order for me to call God another name, Allah. That was the scariest thing in the world for me. But I had to try it. I had to try it to see if it worked for me. So there's still some of us out here, out and about. We're afraid to try different things. We're afraid that we're going to be blasphemous to our religious belief. You know, but like Adamus is saying, a master in a new energy is quite different, much different than the master of the past. It doesn't do any good to go back and study the old masters because they existed in their time and in their era for a specific reason. There are a few true masters in the past, okay? We had many masters in the past. We had Buddha, we had Jesus, you know, we had Muhammad, we had many masters. And there could not be many masters because thousands and thousands of years ago, they didn't have as many of us on the face of the planet, you know? So, it is a different now. It is different now in the new, in this new energy. It's time to have many masters because we got to have a whole bunch of us because masters, all we got to have us all across the world because it is time for each culture to have a master, each region and each community to see that there is a master present for them, for their population. It's time to have many masters all across the world to keep anchor, to help anchor the energy of the new, to anchor the energy of an expanded consciousness, and to anchor this energy. This is the time for many masters, and it can't be done with just a few. Can't be done with just a few. I like listening to Cryon, Lee Carroll Channel's Cryon. I have a group of like-minded intuitives that I like to hang out with. I was talking to a group of friends the other day, and I was saying that we all need a sense of community now. And in that sense of community, you may not find a community that can embrace all aspects of who you are. You may need more than just one or two communities. I embrace my sober community, and I might meet with them on Zoom. I embrace my LGBTQ community, and I encounter much blessing in communicating with them. I communicate with my intuitive, psychic family. When I say family, I'm talking about those like-minded individuals who are into numerology and clairvoyance, because I'm an empath and I have the gift of clairsentience and claircognition. And so I need to be around people who understand those gifts that I have and don't think I'm weird, you know? So you have to find the community that you're able to embrace. I was listening to one of my gifted persons that I like to sit with and communicate with, and that's Lori Ladd. And we were coming to an understanding that our whole physical body is going through a massive upgrade. Remember the last show I told you that I was falling asleep at all the time, and I couldn't understand what was going on with me physically and why I was intolerant? And I read you the whole answer or response that I got from Bonita Woods, who channels the Akashic Librarians. And we talked about, what is the Akash, you know? But all of us, we're having these massive upgrades, and we're absorbing a huge amount of light, and it's not something that you will see happening to you. You may just feel weird. You may feel tired. You may feel achy, You know, and I read that we're moving from a carbon-based energy to a crystalline. We're floating through the now moment. So when we were talking about masters and the new energy and the old masters and how dense their energy was, you know, we were talking about a carbon base to a crystalline base. We're moving into a crystalline base. So what we need to do is we need to feel it. We need to move through it. Don't fight it. Don't be afraid of it. Are you feeling irritable? Are you feeling angry? We got to feel it. Then we got to shift. I might see something on TV that really irks my goad. I want to see it. I want to feel it. And then I want to shift. I might say to myself, that person needs me to pray for them. And I need to change my state of mind. Okay? And we can't give up. We got to keep moving. Stuff's happening around us that we may feel is so horrible that we can't stand it, we can't take it. But everything that's happening now is happening according to some type of plan that we don't understand. So it's very normal for you to feel what you're feeling. But you have the power to shift your vibration. You have the power to visualize a tunnel that you're in and focus on the light at the head of that tunnel. Don't focus on the dark that surrounds you. Focus on the goal of getting to where you desire to be. And whatever is about to happen, I have to say, I've been dwelling on what's going to happen after the third. But whatever is going to happen, we cannot let it crush us if it's not what we think we want to happen. Because if it's not what we think we want to happen, we're going to need ourselves as masters to work through that, to walk through that. And if it works out to be what we want it to be, and I'm talking to anybody who's sitting out there, I don't care who you believe in or what you want to happen. If it works out to being what it is you want it to be, you're still going to have to walk through that and work through it because some changes are coming. And it can be either way. We don't know what it's going to be, but we can't let it slow us down, get us down, put us down, or crash us. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to stay present in our moment. We're going to have to choose the higher ground. Michelle Obama said it, when they go low, we go high. Now, if it turns out we're going high on Wednesday, then we want to get higher. Because there's going to be a whole lot to clean up. There's no time to sit back and relax and think we're home free. There's a lot of work that's got to be done, no matter how this thing turns out. No matter what evolves, we're here in this lifetime on the planet, right here and now, because we were meant to be here to fight the good fight. That's why we're here. We were put here to do what masters do, and that's to teach those who don't understand what it is they're here to do how to do what we came to do. And those who have already transitioned over to the other side don't think that they've abandoned us. They just may have chosen to work from that side to strengthen what it is those who are in physicality need to do to fight the good fight. So we've got to look at the bigger picture, no matter what the picture looks like. We got to step outside of that frame and look how we can make that picture better. I'm getting hoarse and thirsty. We have to focus on the fact that no matter what, we are safe. And there is nothing to fear but fear itself. And everything we desire is on the other side of any fear that we may be feeling that we feel. We need to protect ourselves and surround ourselves with the biggest, brightest light energy our minds can muster up. We got to take our egos and tell it to quiet down, because our higher self is in charge, and that's what we need to be working with. And we got to educate ourselves. You know, don't just listen to me. Don't just listen to Lori Ladd. Don't just listen to Benita Wood. You've got to take it in, and you've got to detach yourself from it, and you've got to discern it and look at it and roll it around your own spiritual energy and say, yes, this feels good. No, I don't think I want to be a part of that, because it feels ugly. So educate yourself. And those of us who are empath, there are so many of us, we are feelers. We need to help others unify, because we can feel the fear. As a matter of fact, I was with my therapist the other day, and it was raining, and I was very sad, you know, and I'm usually able to break that myself out of that. But she said, you're awfully down and quiet today. And I said, you know, I look outside the window and I feel the whole entire earth is crying. I feel the weight of the whole entire world. And people are sad and people are dying. And it's like people are mourning. The whole earth is mourning. And that's the way I felt. But then I had to shake myself out of that, because what's gone is gone, and we can't bring it back. We can ask for peace for those who have transitioned and know that they're doing their light work from the other side of the veil. Okay? And if we as masters who understand this, if we can help other people feel this, because we understand this and we can bring others into that understanding, then what we're doing is we're causing a vibrational shift across the planet. That brings us into unification. We are sovereign and we are supreme rulers of our own selves, each one of us. But when we put that together, we have a whole collective of supreme, ultimate power moving across the planet. So we have to understand that fear is an illusion. And just like we can think it, we can unthink it. We can't help what's going on out there, but we can help what's going on inside of ourselves, in here. And once we take care of in here as an individual, and everyone as an individual is shifting inside in here, then guess what? As a collective, we're capable of shifting anything, because we are beings of light. right? Now, what can we do to combat fear? We can do our prayers. Some people pray. Some people have other practices. You know, I might sit in audience with my ancestors. I might meditate. I communicate with my grandchildren on Tuesday, and we talk about clairvoyance and clairaudience, and we pull an animal energy card for the day or for the week because we meet over the phone once a week. We watch spiritual cinema movies. You can watch movies that make you laugh. If you're in recovery, they have a host of movies for you to be able. You can go to Zoom meetings for any single thing, you know. I go to a Zoom meeting with somebody that's in recovery from Gamblers Anonymous. I go to a Zoom meeting where someone is in that recovery group because they have an eating disorder. I go to, you know, I mean, so you can find. So don't sit back and say, I can't help myself. There's a lot of help out there, and there's a lot of groups, like-minded people, who need the comfort that you're needing for you, okay? And focus on your goals. Just because, you know, it looks like the world is ending out there, just think it may not end, and you've given up your goal. Don't give up your goals, you know, and keep kindness in your heart. Love even the person that you think is the most ugliest person on the face of this earth. Who needs love and prayer more than that person? You know? Recognize that you're of a higher vibration. And you got to keep moving forward. You got to stay positive. Learn to detach yourself from that which is going on. Detach. Look at it. Look at it like it's not even a part of you. Detach and discern what it is you want to take that energy to as high a level as you possibly can get it. So detach from it. Discern it, you know. And just totally, you know, like it's not even there. Dissipate it. And keep a smile on your face. I have the hardest time doing that. I have this little scowl wrinkle right there between my eyebrows that annoys even me when I'm looking at myself on a Zoom video. It's like that thing is annoying to me. And I had to break down with my mask and go get my eyebrows waxed last week. Why? Because my eyebrows are very thick, and when they start coming in, they look like Oscar the Grouch. And people will look at me and they'll say, why are you looking so evil? Why are you so mean? Are you mad at me? Did I do something? No, I just know that my eyebrows need to be waxed and they need to be shaped up because people are asking me, why am I looking so mean? Okay? We have to understand that we can choose to be bitter or better. We have to understand that anything we perceive as a problem can either break us or make us. We can choose to be victims or victors. And last but not least, let's remember, a lot of us think we're human beings having a spiritual experience, when in fact we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And if we would let the ego, that brain matter, get out of the way and let our higher self, our spiritual selves, take charge. And I told you, how do you meet your spiritual higher self? That's in meditation. That's the field of pure potentiality. When you meditate, you tap into your all-knowingness. And a lot of people, they say, well, I don't know how to meditate. Yeah, you do. All you got to do is say, I'm going to sit here in the quiet and just focus on my breath. And because we're thinking beings, we're going to let the thoughts filter and flutter. And when we realize we're thinking about the bird squirting, tweeting outside, we're going to say, oh, I'm thinking about that damn bird outside. Let me bring back my mind to my breath, you know, or put a mantra in your head, you know. Muslims say Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That's all they got to do. Or you can say Soham. That's Sanskrit for I am. Or you can just say I am. I am. Then you hear the baby in the room playing with the toy, you know, and you say, oh, I'm thinking about the baby in the room playing with the toy. Let me bring it back to my breath. And I am. Before you know it, you've sat there for 30 minutes, and it seemed like two. But you've got to understand, we are spiritual beings, okay, having human experiences. And so your spiritualness knows what's best for you and how to do it. But you've got to tap into the void. You've got to tap into it. They say that praying is talking to God, and when you meditate, you're listening for what you need to know. The other thing is, my granddaughter, she's 10 years old. She has a book, and even she knows that before a baby is born, there was a spirit, and then the book says up there, you know, where all of the little sparks are, the little stars are, little sparks are, and the all-knowing with the Creator and waiting to be born. And then what happens is the little spark looks down, and there's a mommy and a daddy, and then there is a baby, and that's the body that belongs to that little spark. So many of us are walking around thinking that we are a body, okay, and we have a soul. But no, it's just the opposite. You are a soul that has a body. That's how that went. The soul chose the body, not the other way around. So you are a soul that has a body, not a body that has a soul. Boy, have they been teaching us about stuff. The other thing that I want to share with you, because, you know, I wasn't going to do a show tonight. I just didn't feel like it. But evidently, the soul that owns this body said, well, I don't think so. You're going to do a show tonight because I got a lot to say. Okay, so here I am. When you start feeling nervous, you know, I'll give you an example. Sometimes your nerves are on edge, you're feeling anxious, you know, you're having one of those anxiety attacks and your body just feels like it's moving, it's just vibrating uncontrollably, you know, and you just feel like you're on edge, about ready, you want to scream. It's the nerves. Take a shaman's bath. Shaman's bath. 1/4 cup of baking soda. 1/4 cup of sea salt. And 10 drops of sage essential oil. Just the sage in the hot water is going to take you off into Never Neverland. Turn out the light, put on a candle, and lay there. Find yourself some peace and quiet, and don't make the water so high that you drown, because you may fall asleep. But lay there and imagine all the stress and challenges of the world are just filtering off of you, and it's being sucked into the water. And when you're ready to get up, let the water out of the tub, and imagine all that stress rolling down the drain with the water. Then turn on the shower if you feel like you need to take a shower because you laid in a bathtub. A lot of people say they don't want to lay in the water because. But take a shower. And do this preferably at night before you go to bed. Take a pad with you to bed and ask your higher self, does it have any messages it wants you to be aware of when you wake up? If you get up in the middle of the night to go potty and you got something in your mind, I don't care if you're thinking about a movie that you just saw, don't even just go to the bathroom, walk back in the room and just scribble whatever it is that's on your mind, because you know how those dreams can be. They can be like holding on to a wet bar of soap. The harder you try to hold on, the faster it tries to slip away. And before you know it, it's like, dang, I don't remember what, it was right there. So write it down in the darkness of the room, no light, no nothing. That's why you're putting the pad in the bed next to you or on the nightstand. So with that, this is Duchess. I'm going to see if I can open up my little trusty book here and get a note from the universe for everyone. Oh, this has really been a good night. I'm enjoying this. I have to keep looking up at my screen to make sure the studio microphone is on, because I've had these conversations with myself in the past and looked up and my mic was cold. And I've been talking to just nobody because the mic wasn't on. Of all the joys on earth, few compare to the crowning glory of achieving against the odds, succeeding in the face of peril, or triumphing over adversity. Wouldn't you say? Yet in every such case, without exception, the poor odds, the peril, and the adversity must come first. Blessed be. Right? Your supply is the universe, and it's always, and it's, your supply is the universe, and its ways are infinite. So, remember that. In order for you to overcome the odds and the perils and the adversity, those things must come first. So you can have something to make you have some muscles because you've gotten over those things. And we're doing this together. We're together, you know. We're beings of light. We're causing a shift. And no matter how things turn out on the other side, we still have each other, and we'll get through this because that's what's meant to be. That's what's intended for you and me. Okay, family, this is Duchess. And if you want to get in touch with me, go to duchessontheair@gmail.com. If you missed any parts of this, as soon as we sign off, it's going to be saved. It will be on the internet for a lifetime. If you want to go back in time and listen to some things that we used to talk about and have some memories with Duchess and Jules, we have 133 shows clocked in. 133 archived shows. I don't know how many people would like to do that, but this is Duchess signing off, sending you lots of love, and letting you know that I'll be on the other side of next week, and we'll be talking the third week in November, and I pray that everyone has their desire fulfilled. Okay? Stay blessed. Know you're loved.
Thank you.